Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Fundamentals Podcast. I am your host, Harley. Joining me on this episode to discuss the legend, wait for it, Derry sitcom, that is indeed How I Met Your Mother, its host of the Basement Podcast, Ryan Astrike. Ryan very kindly agreed to jump onto the show to discuss the sitcom that's near and dear to his heart. It's a show that aired from 2005 to 2014 and sees one Ted Mosby recounting the story of how he met the mother of his children and all the escapades that he got up to with his friends in New York. It's a wonderful show filled with iconic moments, catchphrases, and wonderfully hilarious and also at times bittersweet moments. There's so much that we get into in this episode, and Ryan's enthusiasm for the show is almost infectious. I should point out that just a very small thing with the audio. There is a little bit of delay in that his audio does sort of bleed through into mine. It's completely my fault, but I've done my best to edit around it. Just keep that in mind going into the show. So, without further ado, let's get to the episode. This is How I Met Your Mother with Ryan Astrike. Hello, Ryan, and welcome to the Fundamentals Podcast.
Hello, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Pleasure is all mine, Ryan. So when I put the call out for people to come on the show and talk to us about their favorite sitcoms, you're one of the many that I've had to respond, and you came with an absolute cracker, I think, and I'm really excited to talk about it with you, and that is How I Met Your Mother. So, Ryan, I want you to kick us off. When did you first see this show, and why did you choose to bring it to the podcast today?
Well, so I actually started watching it the day it aired. So, you know, they had shown... Yeah, so they had shown the trailers for it and everything, and it seemed, you know, something that I was going to be interested in. It was kind of coming off about a year after Friends had ended, you know, essentially. So looking for something new, and it was kind of exciting, and it looked interesting. I was still in college at the time, so it was just something that looked kind of interesting to me. And I don't know. I'm kind of at a loss for words. You know, it was just the beginning of a new era, sort of for sitcoms.
Yeah, no, I'd say so. So I take it you were a fan of Friends then?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not as big a fan, but, you know, I've seen enough episodes. I don't think I've watched it, you know, all the time. Just being in college, you know, I missed some episodes for classes and whatnot, but there, a lot of people like to compare the two, and, you know, I know there's a which show is better, Friends or How I Met Your Mother, and you're going to be on one side or the other for the most part. So,
right. Well, yeah, I mean, as we've kind of said on this show a number of times, comparison is just, well, actually, one of my first guests said comparison is a thief of joy, right, in relation to health and fitness, but I think it applies to comedies, definitely. Yeah, like things can exist in their own world and be fun. And yeah, you're right. I mean, Friends ended in, I think it was 2004, I've got here. So, yeah, this was 2005. So yeah, pretty much straight off the back. And you're right. It definitely shares a lot of trends, a lot of similarities with it, you could say. And I don't think it's a bad thing personally. So yeah, I mean, what was it about the show that for you just kind of made you want to stick with it? Because to be there from day one, I think that says a lot, to be fair to you. It's 208 episodes. I take it you went through the whole lot and just followed all these characters on this wild journey.
Yeah, I mean, it started off kind of slow, you know, but at the same time, it was intriguing because I was in that time where, you know, I was in college kind of looking for my future wife, if it was, you know, going to happen or not, you know. So,
okay.
And when the show first started, I was dating someone, and then basically between seasons one and two, we had a breakup. And
oh, right.
So it was kind of like, all right, well, where are things going to go? And eventually it kind of got to the point where I did meet the future mother, and, you know, and the show just kind of stuck with me, you know, since the show ended in, I think it's 2014. I've now been married, had the child, and so I have the mother and everything. So it was, I kind of went on the same journey with this cast, and it was kind of interesting.
That is interesting, actually. Yeah. So you're kind of almost like our very own Ted Mosby in this sense then.
Yeah, Ted and Marshall and a little bit of Barney mixed in, you know.
Hopefully not too much Barney. No, I think it's great. And I love that. I love that this is a common thread actually in quite a few of the episodes we've done. It's these shows like touching the audience in some sort of way or resonating with them in a personal way. And I think that's really cool. And something like this, as you say, is a character's journey to find ultimately their future wife. Or, you know, it's something that's quite relatable, I think, for a lot of people, is that search for their companion, for the person that they want to share their life with.
Exactly.
So I guess going through that then, I'd love to talk about the cast and the characters. And we may as well start with our main guy, Ted. So, yeah, I mean, what do you make of Ted Mosby as played by Josh Radnor?
Well, I mean, have you met Ted? You know, that's like kind of the whole way you get met, you know, how you kind of meet him.
Yeah.
I mean, he starts off as this kind of goofy, you know, lovable guy. Then he has, you know, his time. He's an architect. And then eventually becomes a professor, which is kind of cool, you know, not to give too much away or anything. But he's kind of that hopeless romantic. And I think, you know, everyone at some point likes to consider themselves a hopeless romantic in some way. You know, he does have his kind of pretentious side to him too. You know, he's like, it's encyclopedia, not encyclopedia, you know?
So
it's like, all right, I get it. You know, we all have that one friend in our group, you know, who's going to be kind of that way. So it's kind of cool that he was that way. And I mean, he's just super relatable. You know, he seems like a very down to earth, you know, the common man, just kind of going through life, has his struggles, you know, and has his successes as well. But at the same time, the ultimate goal is just to end up being happy, you know? So I think that's really Ted Mosby, you know?
So do you think you'll ever get married?
Well, maybe eventually. Some fall day, possibly in Central Park. Simple ceremony, we'll write our own vows. Band, no DJ. People will dance, I'm not going to worry about it.
Yeah, it's quite relatable in a lot of ways, as you said. And yeah, it's funny because I've obviously seen a lot of this show. I've started rewatching bits of it just in like a lead up to this conversation.
Yep.
And going through season one. And you're right, the word hopeless romantic is thrown around a lot with him. And it's absolutely true. He's someone that very much idolizes this idea of romance and the perfect woman. And, you know, I think it's interesting because I feel like he learns the lessons along the way that you can't fit a person into this archetype necessarily, even though he does meet the woman that kind of matches a lot of things for him. I feel like by the end of the show, he's grown a lot as a person and has learned to be a little bit more open-minded.
Right. And I think one of the things that I think really worked for the show well was the fact that, you know, they have the narrator who's being, it's Bob Saget doing the voice. So it's supposed to sound like an older Ted. And you kind of imagine that, like, okay, he's grown up. He's gone through all these things and that's him. And, you know, you're right. I think that he does go through a lot of big things, you know, big moments. I mean, he gets left at the altar at one point, which that's heartbreaking, you know. He meets someone who I personally thought was their best choice, you know, for to be the mother in Victoria. And I mean, they meet in like season one, and you know, originally, from what I've done some research and everything, if the show was canceled after season two, apparently Victoria was going to actually be the mothers, is how they would have spun it if they had found out that the show was going to be canceled in time.
Interesting. Okay.
So I just thought that was, you know, kind of neat. And, but yeah, he goes through a lot of breakups, a lot of successes with both career and love. You know, he has some fairly long, successful relationships. And then ultimately in the end, you know, he finally meets Tracy, his the mother, you know, the love of his life.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, played by Kristen, is it Milioto? I can't pronounce names.
I was actually, I'm not going to lie, I was YouTubing it how to pronounce her last name. I think it's Milioti.
Milioti? Yeah, let's go with that. Anyway,
something like that.
She's wonderful, even when she turns up for the very few episodes that she is, really, it's like the last season. Absolutely brilliant. And she's great in lots of other things as well.
Right.
Just as an actress. But yeah, I feel like it's kind of funny, the build up, and it's one of those shows that with the character of Ted, it kind of makes sense that he takes such a long time to tell this story. Like, I think they're very clever in establishing that in his character in like the first season, that they're like, I think even in the pilot, someone's like, you know, oh, I dread, you know, your kids are going to have a rough time with you and telling stories. Like, yeah, he just like, he likes to waffle on and put all this extreme detail in.
Exactly. I mean, the pilot episode, it's, you know, he's talking about how he's met this amazing woman and she's, you know, it sounds like, okay, that's going to be the story. And that's how you met mom. And then it turns out to be Aunt Robin, you know, it's like, wait, what? And the kid's genuine reaction at the end of that episode is like, wait, you just sat us down to tell us how you met Aunt Robin? Like, come on, you know? So it's just, that was hilarious. It was a nice little spin.
It is, isn't it? And I also think I've been thinking about this all week, that it, almost to be a little bit existential with it, if you are going to tell that story, you know, properly, I think for all of us, it's never as simple as, you know, oh yeah, we, you know, met at a party or, you know, we're introduced. It's like, yeah, okay, that's true. That is how you met technically, but everybody has a much bigger story than that. Usually, like you said, there is a life story that's built up to that moment, lessons along the way, different relationships. And so it kind of makes sense that you would take the long road around. And I think in a way it's almost a bit more satisfying that you get that bigger picture.
Exactly. And you know, I think that with the way Ted tells the story, he's including what he considers his closest family, which is his friends, you know, so Marshall, Lily, Barney, and even Robin. So I think that that's such a cool dynamic, and he's going into such great details. And then as he's going through, you know, throughout the episodes, he starts telling one story and he's like, wait a minute. No, that wasn't what I wanted to say. It's something else, you know. Wait, we're 2 years ahead, or, you know, so they jump around, and I love that.
Yeah, it's great fun. And I mean, we're going to go full spoilers anyway, because I have one every conversation. But the one thing I'd love to get your insight of this, obviously, is I know the ending very much split up people and fans, and I'm somebody that's kind of weirdly on the fence about this.
Yep.
So, because obviously the big thing is he meets Tracy right at the end, and then it's like kind of, oh yeah, and then we had this life together, and then it's revealed that she's dead in the future when he's telling the story, like she passed away in between. Right. And then the kids kind of point out that, like, yeah, you were telling more of a story about Aunt Robin, weren't you, than our mum. It's like, you know, and that's the whole point of the story, is them in the future, like him almost going back to that relationship. What do you make of the ending there? What's your thing on it?
So I know my initial theory, like as we were getting close to the end of the series and everything, it started to kind of be like, well, why is Ted telling the story? Because now we've seen the mother. We know, you know, she's gonna, who she looks like and who she is. It's not anyone that we've met previously. And so I thought that maybe he was the one that was having some sort of medical issue, and he just wanted to tell the story as kind of like a reminder to the children, you know, like, hey, this is the epic story of how I met your mother, and I want you to know the full story, not the short one we tell at the barbecues and things like that.
Yeah.
But as far as the controversial ending goes, I was one of the few, I think, you know, I know that you're definitely right. Everyone is split on it. I loved the ending. I remember the night that ending aired, and, you know, I have a couple of close friends that are also, you know, big fans of the show, and we had a group text going, and they're like, oh my gosh, I hated this. This was such a terrible ending. And I was like, guys, I actually loved it. Cause when you go back, especially when you rewatch the series, you go back and you catch little things like, you know, you catch Ted looking at Robin a certain way, you know, at certain times, and he's always willing to, you know, jump to help her at any given time. And it really was a story about how he met the mother, but then how he also met the love of his life, who I think was Robin. And I think he kind of, you know, he found the woman that's perfect for him in Tracy, but he also found this amazing person who's been there by his side the whole time, pretty much. And it kind of goes back to that old saying, what is it? if you love something, let it go. And if it returns, it was meant to be. Right. I think that that is Ted and Robin to a T, you know, that he let they were together. They dated, they broke up, they had their relapses, and, you know, they still got back together in the end, you know. And I thought that was a perfect kind of full circle for the show to go.
Yeah, yeah, it's funny. I'm a little bit like, one part of me's like, oh, it feels like a cop out, but but the other part of me, like you said, especially rewatching it, I mean, and again, you can please fill me in on here on the insights of any behind the scenes research you've done. Mm-hmm. But I almost get the impression that that's kind of what they were going for from the start, because it feels like Ted and Robin are very much the will they won't they of the series,
right?
And so it kind of makes sense that it ends on that note.
Yeah, well, it's funny because if you like, I have the DVDs of the final season. They actually put two different versions. They actually filmed a happy version and the one that aired. And they apparently the creators weren't sure which one they were going to go with up until the very end. And they, from what I've heard and seen, allegedly they let the cast decide on how they wanted to let the show end. So I thought that was kind of neat. You know, do they want to just end it with a happy ending, you know, and Ted meets the mother and they're all together and happy. And to some degree, you got that still. But then I think had they kept Tracy around more, like had they had a few more episodes of them together and then all and like showed, you know, more than just a couple quick flashbacks and such, I think that this would have ultimately been a better, you know, the ending that they went with him going back to Robin eventually. I think people would have been a little more accepting of it, because I mean, what happens when you know, when the love of your life dies, do you want to stay single forever, or do you want to kind of find new love and kind of go back to, you know, something else? And one of the things too that was kind of they actually did a whole episode on it, was having someone on your hook, you know, where it's like you always kind of have that person in your back pocket, essentially, who you always kind of have those feelings for and everything. And you're like, well, they might be, I can always kind of rely on them to be there if something bad was to happen, you know. And I thought that basically Ted is on Robin's hook throughout the whole series, essentially, where no matter what, he's always going to have these jump to help her, you know, jump to do whatever she needs moments. And he does throughout the whole series. But so I don't know. It's like, you're either going to love the ending or you're going to hate it. And I personally love the ending. You know, I think it was a perfect ending for it.
Yeah, it's interesting to get that insight. And I do find it fascinating that the creators themselves were a little bit at odds. But then it's, you know, over 9 seasons, I think you get to a point where you're kind of like, oh, how do we satisfy, you know, everybody and wrap this up? And endings are hard, you know, of a series, especially something like this, when you followed a cast of characters that you've grown to love over such a long period of time. But I think you're right. And that's something I come back to a little bit is watching this is, as you say, that the sprinkling in of the kind of the connection that Robin and Ted have throughout the show.
Yeah. I mean, there's the, you know, the ongoing little jokes that they have, you know, like someone says like, that's a major problem. And then you see they cut to them, it's major problem, and they salute and everything. Yeah. And, you know, it's something that even they apparently were doing that when they dated, and then it still kind of relapses to that every once in a while. And you see them still do it throughout the rest of the show. And I just thought, you know, I personally liked the ending, you know, because you're not always going to have that happy ending. And yes, Ted did get his happy ending, but then life still happens, you know. And I think that's ultimately what this show is all about. It's not just about always having the right thing happen. It's about going through life and all the changes of life. And it kind of has that like deeper kind of level in some ways, but it has that slapstick comedy on top of it as well.
It certainly does. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the fascinating thing to me as well about this show, is watching it is I do forget that there's all the hijinks that these guys get up to. And I do think that's a big appeal of the show. I think all of us kind of want to have adventures with our friends, and you know, some of the stuff they get up to in this, it's so silly, but it's a lot of fun, you know. And right. That's one thing I love about the show is looking back over it, is you kind of catch it in a lot of these moments where I feel like you can see the cast kind of cracking each other up. There's a lot of funny, like, weird cuts where, like, you can see them just sort of laughing at each other, or, like, where they've obviously just come back in and, like, they're sort of, you can see them reacting. It feels a bit weird. Sometimes it's like they're either reacting to what they've just done, or it feels like they've just caught them, like, coming back into a scene, and, like, the other person's obviously done something to make them laugh.
Right.
And even, like, the background extras you see them kind of, like, trying to hold their laughter in. And so you get the sense it must have been quite a fun set to be on.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, you nailed it right on the head. There's times where, you know, you'll see Barney and Marshall interacting, and they'll just say something, and it's super funny. And you'll just see, like, Kobe Smulders, you know, Robin sitting there, and she's just, like laughing, you know. She's trying to, like, keep it in. But at the same time, that's what kind of gives it that real feel, because, you know, you're going to probably hear something and laugh, and you're going to not just sit there and be stoic, you know. So I think that's what kind of gives it that real feel, and that's what makes you kind of connect with these characters a little bit more, which I thought is kind of funny.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and speaking of, I mean, Kobe Smulders, I think, is absolutely brilliant as Robin Stabotsky. She's somebody that kind of knows what she wants but also doesn't.
I'm her older sister. I'm supposed to teach her how to make good and responsible decisions. It's 2 o'clock and you've already had 3 scotch and sodas. Oh, that's why I need your help.
Right. Well, and, like, I thought that was kind of cool that, like, looking at her history, she was basically found, and as soon as they found her, the casting director was like, yep, she's Robin. Like, originally it was supposed to actually go to Jennifer Love Hewitt.
And really?
Yeah. So okay. And I cannot imagine her in this role, but she turned it down to do Ghost Whisperer, which I've never seen or heard of. I think
yeah, you've got me beat there. Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought that was kind of cool. Like, as soon as they found Kobe, and they're just like, yep, she's Robin. She's perfect for this role. We need her. And you look at, you know, what she's kind of gone on to now, you know, with being in a bunch of the Avengers movies and everything. So she's kind of become, like, this bigger star because of How I Met Your Mother, which, I mean, to some degree, all of them have kind of had that success because of this show.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's definitely something we've picked up on, is, like, when a sitcom takes off, you know, it's something that's so accessible. And it's like that way it gets a massive audience, which means that you've got more star power and more recognition straight away. Right. And yeah, a lot of actors go on to bigger and better things because people have seen their faces just in their living rooms, you know, for 10 plus years. They're like, you know, no wonder casting directors suddenly start noticing them.
Right. I feel like, you know, the biggest name out of the five is probably Allison Hannigan, you know, in my opinion, just because of the American Pie movies and all the spoof movies she's done. And, of course, Buffy, you know, and whatnot. Mm. So I think that she was the big name. And then they've all kind of become as big, if not bigger, in some aspects, you know, like Neil Patrick Harris. I feel like he's everywhere anymore, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Like, yeah, you're absolutely right. And I mean, what you were saying just a minute ago about Kobe being on, like, the Avengers and stuff, we did have a bit of a laugh watching an episode the other day where I think she goes out with Barney and plays laser tag, and my wife just turned around and said, and that's her audition for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And,
yeah,
you know,
basically.
And I was like, yeah, yeah. So it's really cool. Yeah, I mean, I love the cast of characters where these guys work off each other. And, I mean, you just mentioned there, Neil Patrick Harris as Barney, I think he's a fascinating character to me now, because I feel like watching him through 2021 lens, as people like to say,
right,
a lot of what he does is very, you could say, problematic, but I get the sense that looking at his character and the way he's played, I think that's the point.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that he started off as kind of like this weird kind of over the top, and then they kind of pulled back the reins a little bit on him and kind of, you know, made him a little more genuine, but at the same, like, they added in some, you know, backstories with him, like his dad, you know, being not being there. And then there's the whole you feel bad for him. And then he finally meets his real dad in person. And it's the John Lithgow, who was just amazing in his tiny little role, you know. But Barney is one of those characters that I think every guy, when they're in their late teens, early 20s, is almost wanting to be like him, but not quite to his level, you know. And then I think at the same time, they made him a human in the end, you know. They made him still have parts of him that are broken, and you kind of want to be the person that fixes him, but you feel bad for him. But at the same time, it's like, well, okay, he's got, you know, the bro code, and he and Ted and Marshall, you know, they're constantly going back and forth about, well, you don't do this, you don't do that. And then the same thing with the playbook, you know, he's got all these crazy outlandish ways to kind of sleep with women or get with women, you know. And it's like, but no one would actually fall for that. But I feel like they just kept upping the bar and trying to see how far can they push it, you know, until they finally did the final, what they call the final play, which was the Robin. And it was all about his slow play on he and Robin getting together, and eventually for a second time. And eventually he proposes to her and they get married and everything. And then obviously things don't quite work out for them. But I just think, you know, Barney is just, he's such an odd character, because you don't see this kind of character anymore, you know, on TV. So to go back and watch the series, it's kind of like, you know, bringing back a part of, you know, the younger part of me, you know. It's like reliving my youth in some ways, you know.
Yeah, again, hopefully not to that much of an extent, but
no, not to his extent, not at all.
But no, it's funny, like you say, I feel like watching back, and, you know, Neil Patrick Harris, he's a child actor, you know, he's someone who's got so much experience.
Right.
And so I think he understood the role, because when you're watching it, you're like, you get the impression that he is just hamming this up as much as possible, because that's the point. It's meant to be a caricature. It's meant to be someone that's over the top.
Put on the suit, Mr. Mosby.
Barney, I know it's you. Where's my stuff?
It's not me. If you want to see your precious possessions again, put on the suit.
What suit?
Ding dong. Oh, what's that? The doorbell? That's the suit I'm talking about.
I haven't gotten to the door yet.
Oh, okay, let me know when you get there.
Okay, I opened it, and there's a suit there.
That's the suit I'm talking about.
And as you say, later on, you find out more about his background, and you realize, oh, he's filling a void.
Right, exactly. You know? It's kind of like he's doing all of these things because he's got, you know, as people would say, daddy issues, you know, and to some degree. And finally, when he meets his dad, you kind of see his character kind of take a nice little turn. And I think it's like season five or six, when we finally do meet his father for the first time and whatnot. And I really think that at that point, while he still has his moments, you know, his little quips and whatnot, you'd see him kind of slow down, and you see him kind of pump the brakes and become more like Ted and like Marshall. Like he's kind of realizing, like, I can't do this forever. Like, as much as I would love to, you know, keep, you know, sleeping with all these women and everything, at the same time, I think he's getting to that point where he's like, well, maybe I kind of want to find my own Lily, you know, between Marshall and Lily kind of getting together and being married for all these years now and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly. It's all of that stuff is, and they kind of hinted it again, it's just watching the first season. It's like they do drop hints in there that a lot of it is a bit of a facade. And he's like, you know, that's why he's always trying to deter Ted from finding the right woman. So he's, because that way he's still got a wingman. He's still got someone that can come out with him and he can live vicariously with. But like, as soon as they go away from that, you realize that, yeah, he's actually quite lonely and he doesn't like doing all these things by himself, because it doesn't lead to anything.
Well, and they even kind of played on that on a couple episodes too, where like, oh yeah, I've only got one towel, you know, I only have one of, you know, one cup, you know, one glass, you know. I don't bring women back here to do that, you know. I live here alone. This is my fortress of solitude in some ways, you know?
Exactly.
It's like, you know, he has his man cave essentially is where he lives in for his whole life. And then he kind of starts to, you know, bring in some real life aspects to it, and kind of starts, you know, all right, you see him have, you know, dishes and things, and in hopes of maybe someday meeting someone and having that relationship with them.
Yeah. I mean, I'm also low key jealous of his stormtrooper full costume that he's got on, all that kind of stuff. It's like, oh, I'd love one of those.
Well, and it's funny that you mentioned that too, because at one point they had a clone trooper in the early seasons, and then they change it back to the classic stormtrooper too.
They do, don't they? Yeah. Good spot. So yeah, he does stuff like that, and it's kind of interesting that, like you say, him and Robin end up together and getting married. And
well,
I thought that was a very interesting dynamic, but it kind of makes sense. I mean, again, in the first season, they do an episode where they hang out, and you realize they've got a lot of similarities.
Right, they're almost too similar, you know. And he even considers Robin a bro at one point. You know, they're out, you know, they go to laser tag, and then they're smoking cigars and having some whiskey, you know. And it's like, and she's suited up and everything. So I think that is kind of cool. But and then, you know, they are together for a little while, and then they break up, and then there's always kind of that, you know, I've always loved her, and it's kind of back there. And even again, this is, you know, Barney letting Robin go and kind of waiting for her to come back. And I'm actually currently in another rewatch myself, just, you know, because I can't get enough of this show. And you know, it's she's dating Cal Penn's character, who has a small cameo. Kevin is his name. He actually was her therapist, and then he's like, I can't be your therapist anymore. You know, I like you, you know. So and it's, they're in a cab ride, sharing a cab home, and they're just kind of like, oh yeah, can you believe I would do this? And then next thing you know, they're kissing in the back of a cab, and it's like, well, what are you doing here, guys? Like, are we going down this path again? You know, where are we going with this? You know, so and eventually, obviously, the final season, they end up, you know, spending literally the entire season over the span of 3 days at Barney and Robin's wedding, which I thought was an interesting way to do things. But
yeah.
You know, because instead of doing it, and obviously they have their flashbacks still and their stories and whatnot throughout, but it's essentially 3 days worth instead of, you know, months and months going on, which I thought was an interesting choice. But I think it worked for the most part. You know, the last season is not the best season, in my opinion, but it's still up there. You know, I'd say that 2, 3, 4, 5 stretch were like their heyday, their best kind of see their best stretch. And then it just kind of gets, okay, we're just kind of repeating some things, but at the same time they put new twists on them, and it just added to the story even more, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's again kind of a running thing we notice with a lot of these shows that do stretch, you know, multiple seasons, is you'll have the golden years, so to speak, and then you'll kind of have the ones where it starts to trail off a little bit towards the end. But you know, that's okay. These things happen. I mean, I will say, to their credit, at least they kept the main core characters for pretty much most of the, I think like the entire run, actually. It was all five of us were still in it. So, you know, there's stuff like that, which kind of helps, I think, to keep, at least keep the chemistry going, even if, like you say, it gets a little bit repetitive.
Right. And like, you know, like you said, they kept the core together, the five together, which was cool. I mean, I know some went off to do other projects and whatnot, so you didn't really see them as much. Like, and then Allison Hannigan was pregnant not once, but twice, actually, during filming, if I'm not mistaken. And they tried to hide it as best they could. And I thought that they did a pretty good job with it for the most part. And then they actually played it up in one episode. Lily was in a hot dog eating contest, and so they showed her full stomach, and it's like, that's supposed to be the hot dogs. I thought that was kind of a fun little play on it, you know?
Yeah, it was cute. It was fun. It's stuff like that they do, which I think is brilliant. And yeah, like you said, it's still well worth a go, even with that in mind. I mean, speaking of Lily, Allison Hannigan, as you say, initially the big star, you could argue, of that first series in particular.
Yep.
But yeah, I absolutely adore her. I think she might be my favorite character. I think she's just really, really funny. And like her interplay with Marshall is absolutely adorable.
I never have to worry about you with another woman. Right, because we're so hopelessly in love, right?
Yeah, sure. Any lunch?
Yeah, I agree. And like, she's not going to lie, she's my celebrity crush. So like, she, you know, she's my number one. I've always been a big fan of hers. And so when I heard she was going to be in this show, I was like, sold. I'm in, you know, no matter what. You know, I agree. I think she probably ends up being at the end of the show my favorite character as well, just because she has gone through so much too. You know, she goes through having to make the decision to leave Marshall, you know, to go pursue her dreams. And then she realizes that she's pursued her dreams and they're not what she wanted. She wants Marshall. So she comes back around in season two eventually, and eventually they kind of get married, and then they start having, you know, plans for children and whatnot. And so it's like, I just think that her character has kind of come full circle by the end, and she's definitely like the best friend character, you know, whether she is best friends, you know, with her husband Marshall or Robin or Ted or even Barney, you know, because she looks after all of them. She's kind of the matron, you know, if you will, of all of them. But she also has her moments where you're like, don't cross her, you know. She has you're dead to me look, and they pull it out a couple times as a recurring thing, and I love that, you know. But then eventually someone that she had that look on, she finds out that they died, and she has this epiphany, this moment where she's just like, I feel so bad now, you know. And it's like your heart breaks for her at the same time. And I love her role. I think that she pulls it off so flawlessly. And sure, there's times where you hate one character or another throughout the series, you know, because they're doing something, you know, dumb or not dumb, and you're just like, why aren't you together, you know, things like that. But I think that her character, for the most part, you never really have those moments other than in the very beginning when she leaves Marshall.
Yeah, it's true. I'd forgotten that happened that early on. It's been a long time since I've watched the show, and that was like, oh. And I actually felt that's quite a bit of a gut punch, the way they end that first season. It was like, oh, that hurts, because, you know, and this is something we've commented on in other shows, is you usually have like the stable relationship, as much as you've got the will they won't they, and they usually have like the one that's solid and you kind of follow them. And so, yeah, when they kind of mess with that quite early on, I thought that was quite subversive and quite interesting. And, you know, the fact that it kind of happens for a very human reason, I think, you know, like she has this moment of introspection and like, you know, thinking this is all I've known. This has been my whole life. And it's like, I haven't tried anything else. And for that to be a female character as well, that has those thoughts and wants to kind of explore that, is fascinating, I think. And in a way, I think kind of progressive.
Yeah. I mean, you think about it, that was what, 2006 when that season first ended, you know, in the spring of 2006. And so you kind of had this moment of, whoa, wait a minute. But at the same time, you had that will they, won't they moment where now Robin and Ted are together too. And he comes back and he sees Marshall sitting there, you know, in the rain, and he's super happy. And then he sees Marshall with the ring in his hand, and he just sits down and like, dude, whatever you need. And he puts his arm around him. And it's like, man, what a gut punch to end the season, you know. But at the same time, it's that ultimate cliffhanger that pulls you in. It's like, well, where do we go from here? I need to know now. Do they get back together? Well, what's going to happen in season two? I need to know. And, you know, was Lily planning to leave? You know, was that supposed to be Allison Hannigan's one season? I haven't looked into that. I don't know if that was ever the case or not, but that's always I'm always kind of wondered if that's a possibility, if she was only supposed to be there for a little bit.
Yeah, possibly. You could be onto something there. I mean, I said we just don't know, but I'm glad she did stick around, because it's really their relationship, I think, is wonderful. And it's kind of interesting to see that they both have those moments, you know, where they're both trying to figure out what they want to do. But at the same time, there's life, there's reality, you know, there's things that get in the way. Like Marshall's got this dream of being this environmental lawyer, and Lily wants to be an artist, but it's like in the, and I hate to use this expression, but in the air quotes, real world, you know, those things can be difficult. to do and to be successful at, and, you know, to support, and especially living in a place like New York, let's be honest.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, but I like that they give both those characters the opportunity to explore those things. And then there's the lesson of being content, you know, of like, it's good to have dreams. It's good to try things. But, like, you know, you don't think any less of Lily when she realizes that actually she was perfectly happy and wants to come back. You know, that the message isn't, oh, women, stay in your lane. It's, you know, yes, she goes and tries this out. But as you say, she realizes actually it's not really what I want.
Yeah. And
you know. Yeah, sorry.
And
go on.
yes, and then like she comes home and everything, and then you know you said about you know Marshall wanting to be this environmental lawyer, and he you know puts family first for a little bit, and it's like I need money, I'm gonna take the other job, and then eventually he goes and finds the environmental job and everything as well. But to me, my favorite moment of Marshall and Lily's. The episode where they're actually doing a countdown from 50. I can't remember the name of the episode. I should have wrote that down. But it's funny because all throughout the whole episode, you're seeing a countdown in the background somewhere, starting with 50 and then, you know, going down. And then a cab pulls up and Lily gets out and the light on the cab, you know, lights up and it's 0 or 1. Mm. And Lily gets out and the moment where she's like, she's in tears almost, and she finds Marshall, and he's like, you know, I'm gonna make these big life changes, and she just goes, Marshall, hold on, I have some news. You know, your dad, he had a heart attack, he didn't make it. And that moment, it's just like, man, that just feels so real, because that could happen to literally anybody. And it's so morbid that that's one of my favorite scenes. But the crazy thing about it is they didn't tell Jason Segel that's what was going to happen. They just said here. So they basically they kind of pulled, like in MASH they did something like that too, I remember,
right?
And so they kind of wanted that genuine reaction, and Jason Segel just absolutely nails it. He's like, my dad died, like what? And you could see his emotion, and it's just like, oh man, because that's what brought it from this whole episode of comedy of errors type thing, you know, and then boom, my dad died. What? Like, I love that episode. They're just, it's just so real, you know? And I think that's what I love about this whole show, is it has those moments again, where it's comedy, and then realistic. And it's not something that is too far fetched either. You know, it's something that could happen at any given time to, you know, Barney's the one that's way over the top with everything.
Yeah.
And then you have those real moments as well that I think are what makes this show so great.
You're here. Oh, my God. I love you so much. Can you believe it?
Marshall. Something's happened. Your father, he had a heart attack. He didn't make it.
My dad's dead? I'm not ready for this.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's such a good observation. And I think that's so true. It's because it has a sense of heightened reality about it, you know, like a lot of sitcoms do. It has elements, like you say, where they get into the weird hijinks and crazy situations. But as you say, for the most part, it is grounded at some level in reality and in human emotions and mistakes. And you're definitely right that Lily and Marshall have a lot of those big moments, because they go through big life changes and they do it together, and it's never straightforward. You know, there's always bumps along the way or things that happen. But yeah, having said all of that, I do love again that their relationship is kind of like the one that stays the course, at least.
Yeah, they're the steady ones. And it's kind of cool because apparently Allison Hannigan was just like, you know what, Jason Segel's a smoker, and she didn't like the smell of the smoke. So if you ever pay attention, they rarely ever kiss throughout the entire series. Like, they have their moments, of course, but she actually told him, you know, you're gonna have to pay me X amount of dollars per kiss or whatever, you know. And by the end of one episode, he owed her like $200 or something like that. It was like $10 a thing and a cigarette. Wow. And it's just like, I thought that was kind of cool and kind of gutsy for her to say that. But at the same time, you know, he even tried to go cold turkey and just quit. And I think he did for a little bit. And then you see them kind of have those actual genuine interactions again. But I just think that that's kind of a neat little fact, you know, that they actually put that into the show.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I didn't know that, but there you go. That's fair play to her.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, and yeah, speaking of the other side of that, yeah, Jason Segel as Marshall, I think's hilarious. He's sort of goofy and over the top, but I kind of love, something I love about their relationship is that they dote on each other and they have these silly little nicknames. But it's nice, I think, because it just shows you that, like, that's okay. You're allowed to be affectionate and a bit silly with each other.
Yeah, everyone wants to be Lily Pad and Marshmallow, you know? Everyone wants those little nicknames and everything. And I think that he played this role to a T. You know, I can't imagine anybody else in this role. And apparently, like, neither could the creators, because they basically were like, this role is made for you. They loved him in Freaks and Geeks, which is one of those super underrated shows that, like, nobody people have seen it now, but you just look at the cast of that show, and they picked him out of all of the people that were there, and he's just this lovable, you know, Minnesotan oaf, you know, that you can't help but not cheer for the guy, you know, even though he has his dumb mistakes. You're still gonna absolutely just love Marshall because he's like a child in a lot of ways, you know.
He is. He's very pure at his center, you know. Like he like you say, he wants to make the world a better place. He adores his girlfriend. He loves his family and all the weird stuff that they do. I mean, again, I was watching back over, and there's an episode early on where they go back to his family, and I think. I mean, I say this as someone from the UK, but just from an outside perspective, I was watching it and I was like, oh yeah, of course he's from Minnesota. Like, of course he is. Like, I'd forgotten that was the case, but like, it just suits his character so much. Like, that really sort of polite, friendly, down to earth thing. And even like the stuff where he's playing games with all of his brothers and it's like, they're just wailing on each other. And, you know, like, it kind of just makes sense. Like you said, he's just a big kid.
Yeah, and it's like he's never quite grown up, and they even and after Marshall's dad dies, they even play on the big kid aspect, because he stays. He's like, oh, I gotta be here for my mom. I can never not say no. I need to be the supportive one, and I have to pick up the phone all the time, and no matter who it is, I have to answer. You know, and mom, you know, I need you to do this and whatnot, and they just play off of it so well, I think.
Yeah, isn't that where he ends up, like, basically going back into his bedroom? And he almost regresses. Like, he very, very nearly happens.
he's playing Dr. Mario on his Game Boy, and, mom, we need Pop-Tarts, you know, things like that. Yeah. It's just like, oh, man. But I think we all kind of want that one moment of regression, you know, to feel like a child again. And I think this was his way of doing it to help support his mom, because that's what he thought she wanted, what she needed.
Yeah, and to a degree, that kind of did bring her some sort of comfort, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and then she gets to the point where Lily shows up, and they're like, "Get him out of my house!"
Yeah, yeah, goes too far.
Yeah, and it's like, I'm done with this. I need him out. He's a grown adult. Get him back to New York. I don't want him here anymore. You know.
Yeah.
I want to grieve. I want to be on my own.
I feel like this show does a really good job with that as well, with a lot of the cool characters, and that it shows you. Very positive. It's very aware of, you know, the relationships that people have with their parents, and it does a very good job, I think, of each character getting a little bit of a background, and it kind of explains why they are the way they are. Like you said, from Marshall's big family that are just full of life and love, and all they want to do is have a family and just be be around each other, which explains his sort of big goofy fuzzy nature to you know, the opposite end of the spectrum, where you've got, like, you know, Robin's dad, who's really cold and like basically wanted a boy, and she had to grow up, which explains why she's so, you know, I don't know what the word is for it, but, you know, like I said, like a bro in some ways, like, because right. that's how she was raised.
Right. That he was like, oh yeah. And I think he even called him Robin a boy name for a little while too. And it's like, well,
yeah,
all right, I get it, you know. And had the close, you know, the boy haircut, the just Justin Bieber, you know, mop top kind of look.
Yeah.
And whatnot. And it's like, yeah, go be in the wilderness for 3 days. I'll come back from the Caribbean. You know, it's like, wait a minute. You don't do that, you know?
Yeah. And even though I was watching an episode the other day where Ted's parents come by and they're just terrible communicators. And you're kind of like, oh, that explains why he's so over the top and like wants to talk everything out and like idolizes relationships, because he's just desperate to have the thing he's not been given his whole life.
And he gives every little detail, and, you know, oh, we're like, when they do the flashbacks to college, you know, they're talking about, you know, they were, for all intents and purposes, smoking weed, you know, but they're having a sandwich is what they called it.
Yeah.
You know, and whatnot. And, you know, you have Ted's parents, they get divorced and everything, and then she gets remarried, and he's kind of this hippie kind of guy and brings mom down, and mom's kind of the same way, but at the same time, it's Ted's mom. And Ted's like, no, she's my mom. Like, I can't see her in this scope. You know, I don't want to see her in this. But at the same time, eventually he kind of comes around and is happy. But I think it's funny that, like you said, they're horrible communicators. And he's telling these stories, so like this big, long, elaborate story of how he met his mother and everything. And
yeah,
I actually just saw the other day, someone had asked Neil Patrick Harris, do you think that Ted kind of embellishes a little bit of your character Barney and kind of makes him seem over the top to make himself look like the better person? And Neil Patrick Harris was like, yeah, absolutely. I don't see why that wouldn't be the case. You know, I would do the same thing if I was telling a big long story like that too. So I thought that was kind of neat.
That, you know, that's a whole nother thing I've not considered. You just blow my mind, genuinely. Like, now that I think about it, you're like, that's so true. Yeah, like the storytelling device is through his eyes.
Yep.
So yeah, maybe that explains the heightened points of each of the characters, like you say, why Barney is so over the top and, you know, wants to be a lad, as we'd say over here in the UK, or a bro in the States.
Yeah, a bro. Yeah.
You know, and then like why Marshall and Eddie seem to have this completely perfect, almost like soppy relationship, and, you know, and then like you said, it's through his eyes, it's how he sees them and how he sees the characters, that maybe that's the slight tint that's on each one of them and the performances. If that's the case, then like hats off to the writers for maybe doing that, you know.
And it makes you wonder, like, well, if we heard this story from Marshall's perspective or Lily's perspective, you know, what could this have been like, you know? And it kind of makes you think, like, how cool would the story actually have been, you know?
Yeah, that's it. Would it have just been a bit more straight-laced if, like, Robin had told it, for example?
You know? Right.
Like, she would have been a bit more factual, or
it would have been over after one season, you know?
Yeah, exactly. If Barney had said it, it would have probably featured, who knows, some more epic stories, or like, because he does like to embellish things as well himself, which
absolutely
I kind of love, and again is explained in his background when you realize that, like, he's an abandoned child and like his mum, maybe not the best decision, but you can kind of understand why she did it, you know, let's say over exaggerated his abilities, you know.
Oh, yeah.
To some
degree, exactly.
And is largely responsible for how he sees himself.
Absolutely. You know, and it's like, there's one point where he actually asks, you know, who's my mom, and she just kind of goes, that guy, and points to Bob Barker on The Price is Right, you know. And it's like, wait a minute, like, and then, but he believes it for the longest time, you know, and then goes on the show and is like, dad, you know what? I just thought that was kind of funny, you know.
That's right.
Play it off, and then it's like, wait, no, I realize Bob Barker's not my dad, there's got to be someone else.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he's got his half-brother, James, who's Wayne Brady. You know, I just think and adding him in just brings a whole other level of comedy. And I think that they just kind of wrote his character. I have a feeling that they just went, here's some lines we'd like you to squeeze in, but otherwise just have fun. You know, just go and see what happens.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's fantastic as his brother and half brother, really. And
right.
And I get like the sort of the revelation or the fact that that is a revelation to Barty kind of says a lot about his character, and it kind of makes you wonder as well, like how successful he was for real with a lot of these conquests, or like how much did he actually embellish? You know.
Well, yeah, I think at one point they said 268 women he had slept with, but like, did he actually, you know, how real was the list, you know, or, and, you know, even to some degree, we never find out really what he does for a living, you know, which I always thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, but he's got all this money apparently, but he'd still choose. And to his credit, he has all this money and he still chooses to go to the same bar with the same four other people to just hang out and have a good time, you know. So it shows the human side of Barney, that he's not always about the money. You know, yes, he can go out and spend a couple thousand dollars on a TV that's the size of his wall, you know, but at the end of the day, he comes home to that TV and he's like, well, that's not what I want. I want friends. I want this close group. And I think that ultimately that's what everyone wants. You know, everyone wants this. You know, you're going to have obviously your friends throughout your life that come and go and whatnot, but you always have that core group, you know, and I think that that's where this show to some degree kind of spins off of the show Friends, because you had the six and now you've got the five. So it makes you wonder, like, well, what's the next sitcom going to be? Is it going to be a group of four? You know,
you never know. But it's definitely a core of any sitcom. I think pretty much all the ones we've discussed, that's usually what happens, is you've got a group of people and they're often misadventures. And I think, like you said, because it's something we all want, it's something we can all relate to. Like, you know, life is so much more entertaining when you've got friends in your life. You've got people that, even if they're in different journeys, you know, like you've got the married couple here that they go through the journey of having kids, and all of that's a whole another world. I mean, I just yesterday sat down with two of my best friends and like, they've both got kids, and it's the weirdest thing in the world for me to see these guys as dads. And like, I think back to all the adventures we've had and I'm just like, whoa.
Right?
You know,
I was gonna say, yeah, absolutely. You know, you're gonna have those moments where you're just like thinking of those adventures you had and whatnot, going, but I was there from the beginning and you saw them become dads, you know. And that's kind of that, yeah, it's weird, but at the same time, it's really cool to see them become dads too, you know, and see where their journey is going to go now, which is kind of neat.
Exactly. And you're right. That's something this show does very well, is it does kind of play well with those life stages, but their sort of friendship and the fact that they still hang out together, they still meet up in the same bar and stuff. Like, it's comforting, isn't it? Right. That's what sitcoms need to be ultimately, I think, for the most part.
It's that escape from reality for the 23 minutes or 25 minutes, however long the episode is, you know. And it's just like, okay, I can sit down and I might have had a crappy day, but I can watch these group of friends and kind of feel like I'm part of that group, you know, feel like I'm the sixth person in the group, so to say, you know. And hearing the story, and then, you know, or being the kids, which I thought was another kind of neat thing, where after basically season two, they said, hey, we think this show is going to go on for a couple more seasons. They filmed all the scenes then with the kids, and they knew the ending right then and there, and they had to keep it secret, which I thought was really cool.
That is so cool. Yeah, I was wondering about that. I was going to ask you about that, actually, because, that's what my memory was flashing back to. Was like, I'm pretty sure up to like season nine, the kids still look the same, and I'm like, how is that possible? That's how. Yeah.
That's how, yep. Yeah, they were like sworn to secrecy, you know. This is, and I think that that's part of the reason why they did those two endings too. So right. they didn't know exactly which one was going to happen, but they still had the moment where it's like, all right, they're either Ted's going to meet Tracy and be happy, and that's a happy ending for the show, or we're going to have him, you know, Dad, we understand, you know, you want to go back with Aunt Robin. You've been telling us the story about her. It's always been about Aunt Robin. Yeah. Go for it. We you're asking our blessing. We're giving you the blessing. We want you to be happy, Dad, you know?
Yeah, which, and I think that's awesome because, yeah, they're in 63 episodes across the series, which is, it's barely a quarter. So,
right.
And, I mean, that must be quite funny for them to have done all that. And then, you know, like 9 years later, someone comes up to you, goes, oh, the ending. And you go, what? Oh, that finished. Oh, okay. You imagine to think back all that time, be like, yeah, what did we film? Or like, well, yeah, well, they must have been wondering themselves.
And it's funny because some of the times, like literally they just show the kids and they're just sitting there like bored, you know, with the arm up, their arms crossed. And they're just like, what? And not at the same time, it could have been a still shot and we wouldn't have noticed unless they blinked, you know, and you see them do that. It's like, okay, it was actually a real shot. Was this just B footage? And then it comes out later that no, we actually did shoot this right after season two when they were sworn to secrecy. And I thought that was kind of a really cool aspect to learn about.
That really is. And I mean, it's something that I think they do quite well. I'm just looking here. They've got a couple of these like recurring characters that they make a good use out of them, don't they? I mean, specifically if you've got Ranjit and Carl, you know, their driver and their barman, respectively.
Yeah, and then even Wendy the waitress, I would throw her
in there
too.
Wendy the waitress, yeah, that's true. She's up here.
But yeah, Ranjit, I thought was that was such a funny part. And then it's just incredible too, like going back and looking at the list of cameos that this show had. And one of the things that I had done in, you know, my research for this was apparently Britney Spears cameo. It was supposed to originally be a one-off.
Right.
And apparently her character, because it was Britney Spears being on the show, brought in a whole new audience to the show and kind of almost saved the show in some aspects because their views were kind of, you know, okay. But when they brought Britney Spears in, everyone tuned in for that episode to see what they were going to do with her. And that kind of almost saved the show, basically, is what the creators have said.
Interesting, because she's in two episodes, isn't she? I've got here.
Yeah, and she plays, actually, I think she's, two official episodes. And then she has like another moment where you just kind of see her in the background. So I don't know if they just had filmed more parts with her in the background because she's the receptionist for Stella, who's the one that left Ted at the altar eventually.
That's right. Yeah, I just remember that. Yeah, that's such a great get. I mean, there's quite a few in here. I mean, I'm struggling to think of her name. Katy Perry was in this for one episode?
Yep, Katy Perry was in the Oh Honey episode where they couldn't remember her name, so they just called her Oh Honey. And then you have Barney was trying to get with Jennifer Lopez at one point. So like that was a big thing. She was a sex therapist and had a book and he was he basically challenges himself to beat her system essentially to be that guy. I mean, there's so many names that, you know, pop up and sometimes they have like a quick little recurring role where it's two or three episodes, like Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
You know, he's in there and
do you know what? I just want to say he's come up like a bunch of times in these episodes because he was one of those big working actors in like the 90s and the 2000s. He was doing a lot of comedy and stuff. So it just makes sense that he just pops up in things. But yeah, he's wonderful. You're absolutely right. John Lithgow, you mentioned another one. Absolutely brilliant. Yep. Sorry, who else then? Who else have you got?
I mean, Jennifer Morrison. She's Zoe, who Ted dates for a little bit. She was on the Once Upon a Time show.
She was? And House, if I remember correctly?
And House, I think it was House, I mean, obviously Bob Barker, you know, pops up for an episode. I mean, it's just incredible. Like, I was looking at the list. I have a list here next to me. There's probably like 60 people that I've written down that have been had cameos, you know, and I don't want to bore the listeners with all of them, but like those are some of the bigger ones. I thought that was kind of really, really neat. And some of them, you know, it kind of, I don't want to say launched their acting career, but like some of them are not really known for acting, like Enrique Iglesias. He played Gael, who was Robin's boyfriend when she left for a little bit, and he pops up for like two episodes or so. And I just think that that's kind of neat that some of them have gone on after this show to have other little small acting roles as well.
Totally. I tell you one that leapt out to me because he was an episode I watched yesterday. It was Joe Manganiello. He's in seven episodes.
Yes. Marshall's friend from law school. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, and then there's Bob Odenkirk and guys like that. There's so many. Is it Kyle MacLachlan?
Yeah,
MacLachlan as Twin Peaks. The captain.
Yeah. Well, he was married to Zoe, Jennifer Morrison's character.
But that's right.
I think the three cameos that I think are the coolest were Taron Killam, who is Kobe Smulders' actual husband, and then same thing with Alexis Denisof, who's married to Allison Hannigan, and also David Burka, who is married to Neil Patrick Harris. So I thought that was kind of cool that they actually had their spouses in small little roles too.
Yeah, that must have been nice for them.
Yeah,
that'd be a fun day on set.
I would think that'd probably be really cool. But like, I thought it was cool because they really didn't interact with their spouses all that much. Because like David Burka, he was supposed to be Scooter, who was Allison Hannigan's high school boyfriend.
Yeah, that's right.
Alexis was Sandy Rivers, and so he was with Robin. He actually tried to hook up with Robin, you know. And Taron Killam was just one of Blauman, who worked with Marshall. So like, they didn't really ever interact. But you know for sure they were on set having just an absolute blast, you know, the days that they were there.
Yeah. I think, again, the mark of a great sitcom is if you get your guest actors in, you've got to have fun and use them well, have them just for the sake of it, you know.
Right. Well, and especially since, like, from what I had seen, this show was one of those few sitcoms, like, normally they'd film everything, like, in one day. This one was actually shot over the course of 3 days per episode. So to have some of these people there for that length of time, I thought that's kind of neat too, you know. So and then after the fact, like, they never shot it in front of a live studio audience. They always put in a laugh track afterwards, which to some degree hurts it a little bit because it. But at the same time, I think it helps it because you can choose when it's time to laugh and when it's time to, you know, have the music kick in. And Josh Radnor apparently had helped with a lot of the music on the show, like choosing some of the songs that they used. And I thought that was kind of neat too, you know.
That makes sense because I've learned since that he's now a musician, isn't he? I think no longer in acting, really.
No, he's actually still acting. He's in that... He's on Hunters on Amazon Prime.
Oh, okay. Because I was thinking, like, I've not seen him in much since then. And someone said, oh, yeah, he's more of a musician now.
Yeah, he's a musician. He actually just had an album drop not long ago. And I know he's also been on, like, Broadway doing some plays and musicals and stuff.
Cool.
So I think that's where he kind of wanted his career to go. But he's still doing some acting stuff here and there, popping up. But he does a lot of voice stuff, too, I think, too, which is kind of neat. And he actually had written and directed during the time that this show like was nearing the end, but it was a movie called Happy Thank You More Please. Which I was like, okay, well, I'm addicted to the show, so I have to buy this on DVD when it comes out. And it's actually a pretty good movie. It's not, I don't want to give anything away on that, but it's not something that, you know, you'd necessarily think of, but it's kind of like the movie Crash in some ways, you know, where all these stories kind of come full circle in the end. Same kind of concept in some ways.
Interesting. hang on 1 second. There we go. Yeah, I find that really fascinating. It's not what you normally expect from sort of leading guys in sitcoms like this, but good for him, man. Good for him. Yeah. I just had a quick look, as you were saying there, was his IMDb. Yeah, he's even uncredited on quite a few songs, like in the later seasons. So,
right,
cool. I might check out his album. Why not?
It's actually pretty good. Not gonna lie, it's not something I expected, but then it also was what I expected. Like, he's actually a pretty good singer. I think that he's actually pretty talented. And speaking of music, I thought it was kind of cool too that the theme song to the show, was actually Craig Thomas and Carter Bays. That's their band actually performs the song Hey Beautiful. So I thought that was kind of neat, you know.
That is really cool. I like that.
Yeah, I didn't know that that was their band until, again, doing research. Like, I had heard the song and had it as a ringtone for a while, and then had Let's Go to the Mall, because I worked in a mall for a few years, so that was my ringtone for a little bit. You know, anytime work called, it's like, oh, gosh, here we go.
Yeah, yeah. I like that. Awesome. And, I mean, that you maybe just think, actually, another point to this sitcom, one that I think adds to the longevity of any show, is the way that it gets through into the pop culture zeitgeist, whether it be with gifs, memes, sayings. And as you say, the Have You Met Ted thing.
Yep.
That's, I've heard people do that many times at events, you know. there's stuff like that. There's, you know, legendary and, you know, all that stuff you can just have fun with and just throw away.
Exactly. And it's, you know, especially nowadays, you type in How I Met Your Mother memes and there's thousands of them, but you see some of the classic lines and stuff too. You know, the legend, wait for it, dairy. Yeah. You know, you still get those classic ones, and you know, it's really fun. I think I think if you can get to that level that you're a meme, you've hit the prime time. You're good. You're golden. You're gonna stick around forever.
That's it. Something we've said on this show is, yeah, it has to be memeable. If you want a sitcom to last, it has to be memeable.
Exactly.
This is definitely a classic example of that. It's just wonderful, isn't it? It's just, yeah. I'm having a lot of fun rewatching. As I've said many times in the show, I have too many now to watch, rewatch, and just, but it's fine. There's worse problems to have.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I'm right there, and I've tried to start watching, you know, as I've been listening to your show and everything. I've tried to start watching some of them on the side as well. Like Superstore. I started watching that the other day after listening. Cool. It's hilarious. So I have a feeling that that's going to be a quick binge for me as well. So
brilliant.
I'm excited to go through that one.
Alex will be very happy to hear that.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, brilliant, man. It's absolutely wonderful. I just want to know, is there anything else you want to talk about with a show or anything that kind of leaps out to you?
I mean, other than the fact that they played off Robin being a Canadian pop star in Canada, you know, that was...
Oh, that's wonderful.
Always a classic, you know, and she had her one hit song, and then the follow-up song didn't quite work, and then the let's change everything and go super dark emo, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, man, it's so cringy, but at the same time, so hilarious.
It's awesome. I love that they sprinkle that in.
Yeah,
the whole Robin Sparkles thing.
Yep, all throughout, and they even, you know, oh yeah, I still have the jacket. And apparently, Kobe Smulders went home with that jacket. Like, that was one of the things she got to keep. So I thought that was kind of neat.
That's cool. You'd hope you would get a few keepsakes, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Well.
But yeah, that definitely earned that one.
Yeah, I think she kept that. Neil Patrick Harris kept the playbook and a few other little items. And I know Josh Radnor kept the blue French horn, which was the big, and the yellow umbrella. I think those were two of the most iconic little props of the show, in my opinion. You know, all throughout, you've got him. He just picks up this random umbrella, and it ends up happening to be the one that belonged to the mother, you know, to Tracy, and the blue French horn. And he's, you know, the end of episode one, he's there like, trying to give it to Robin, and at the very end of the season, the season finale, series finale, really, he's there, you know, holding it up, saying like, "Hey, I got this," and that's kind of the indication, like, "Okay, game on," you know,
yeah,
we're going back for this again, you know, let's go round five or six of Ted and Robin together, you know,
yeah, it's wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on, Ryan.
Absolutely.
Yeah, talking about this show, I think it's been such a blast. So I guess to kind of wrap it up then, where can the good people find you?
So I'm actually on Twitter, at Bearded Rhino. It's RYNO 15. Just tried to get a little creative with that. And then also on Instagram at the same. And then I actually do have a podcast as well called The Basement Podcast.
Okay.
You can find us on Instagram and Twitter. On Twitter, it's @thebasement_pod, and on Instagram, it's @basement_pod. And
brilliant.
we're hoping we had started to record. We had put one episode out right before the pandemic hit, and then we're hoping to relaunch here soon. Now that things are kind of lifting here in the States, and we can kind of get together and start recording again together.
Awesome. I'm curious, what is the podcast about?
It's kind of a mix of things. Like it's kind of just whatever we feel like talking about, essentially. Movies, books, you know, cool. TV shows. Kind of, okay. Not to say it's a copy of Skip to the End, but you know, that was kind of the thing that started. You know, me listening to podcasts was their show. I just happened to come across it kind of randomly on Spotify and became a huge fan. And so I kind of don't want to take what they've done with the show, but I like the aspect of the show just kind of being about whatever you want to talk about that day, you know. And I just myself and Caleb, who's my co-host, we just kind of want to just get it out there, you know, our thoughts on things. And I think it's kind of fun.
Brilliant. And that's some fine inspiration. I think Mark, Ben and Gemma will be very happy to hear that. So really, Ryan, thank you so much for coming on. I'll make sure to put all those links in the show so people can go and find you, and I'll definitely be subscribing as well.
I'd appreciate it. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure.
All right.
And there we have it. A massive thank you to Ryan for coming on to the show and sharing your love of How I Met Your Mother. I had so much fun recording this episode. I hope that you guys listening enjoyed it. Definitely go and follow Ryan. I'll put all the links to his show, his Twitter handle, everything will be in the show notes for you. Go and follow him now. Also, make sure you go and follow the wonderfully talented artist, Alex Jenkins, who's behind the artwork for this show. If you like what you see and you want to commission him for your very own artwork, then feel free to use the information that is in the show notes also to do that. If you are enjoying the podcast and you'd like to say a big thank you, then the best way to do that is to leave me a 5-star review on your favorite podcatcher, as indeed 2 people have done on Apple Podcasts. So I'm just going to take a moment to thank them and read out the reviews. If you'd like to get the same treatment, all you have to do is follow their steps. First of all, I want to give a big thank you to user handle FlipFlopOff. I love that, by the way. They say, loving the range of podcasts and the professional easy listening of the chats. Asks a lot of interesting questions. You can see that he does his research and shows genuine interest in all the topics. Looking forward to the next podcast. Well done, Harley. Thank you very much for your kind words there. That has actually made my day. Also, another one from SBud91. I think we all know who that is. Thank you, Sarah. It says, Fundamentals is such a lovely podcast to listen to, covering a wide range of topics. Host Harley shows a genuine passion and interest in whatever his guests have chosen, and this always comes across in a very honest and endearing way. Thank you. There's also nothing more joyful than hearing someone talk passionately about something that they love. So this podcast is an immediate serotonin boost. Give a listen now. Thank you so much, Sarah, for saying that. I know you're not just saying it because you were a guest, but it's an added bonus, isn't it? Let's be honest. Still, really appreciate all of that feedback. And if you want to earn shoutouts like those two, all you have to do is leave a review in the same manner. I do believe that Apple Podcasts is probably the best one to do that on, but if there are other platforms in which you have done it, then please tell me, because of course you will earn a shout out on the podcast. All that's left to say is a big thank you to you guys for listening, for subscribing, following, sharing the episodes, telling a friend. It all means so much. I really, really can't thank you enough. And of course, I will be back next week with another episode about another sitcom, and I will leave a little clip in here for you as a clue as to what is coming up. So, until next time, stay tuned and stay safe.
So what's it like then? You know, fags and booze.
Well, to be honest, after years of smoking and drinking, you do sometimes look at yourself and think.
Yep.
You know, just sometimes in between the first cigarette with coffee in the morning to that 400th glass of corner shop piss at 3 a.m. You do sometimes look at yourself and think.
Yep.
This is fantastic. I'm in heaven.